From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Full Moon Wednesday, and it is bright out there. I'll tell you what, though, 1,800 acres and growing, fires everywhere in California out this way. It's that kind of season again. Next hour, are there reptoids living within the planet? Cryptozoologist John Rhodes says, indeed there are. We'll talk with him about that. Here's some of the stories of the day. Well, for those of you who live around the New Madrid Fault in the Midwest, this is not good news. Scientists believe they have lifted the veil on an earthquake-prone region in the southern United States that lies more than 1,600 miles from the nearest boundary in the Earth's plates. According to these scientists, the zone lies around the New Madrid, which is a town in eastern Missouri that lies on the Mississippi River. A monster quake since estimated to measure 7.4 to 8 on the Richter scale damaged the town back in 1811, causing surface waves across the ground locally and inflicting damage as far as Washington. Aftershocks continued there for much of the following year, and there were major quakes in 1843 and 1895, measuring 6.3 and 6.7, respectively, making it the most seismic region in the United States east of the Rockies. But these events happened when the region was sparsely populated. New Madrid had a population then of just 400, all of whom were reportedly killed. Now, U.S. scientists reporting in the British science journal Nature, they say that the New Madrid seismic zone is deforming rapidly, experiencing rates of strain that are similar to those in notoriously active plate boundaries. They say now there are millions of people that live along this fault line, and they're concerned. As a matter of fact, they predict that soon there's a 90% chance of a 6 magnitude or better. 90% chance. Keep in mind, the big devastating one was close to an 8 back in 1811. The pilot of a U.S. Air Force U-2 spy plane on a mission in support of American military operations in Afghanistan has died in a crash while returning to base in the United Arab Emirates. The military has refused to say where the aircraft went down. U.S. Central Command said the crash occurred in Southwest Asia, a term that can be a substitute, of course, for the Middle East. There's been heavy fighting in southern Afghanistan in recent days, with American fighter planes bombarding rebel hideouts and missiles and bombs, killing up to 76 insurgents in fighting on Tuesday and Wednesday. The U-2 reconnaissance plane that operates at an altitude of more than 70,000 feet has been used in every major conflict the United States has fought since the aircraft was developed in the 1950s. Flying beyond the range of most surface-to-air missiles, it was shot down in 1960 over the Soviet Union, the Gary Francis Power episode. Federal government's efforts to prevent terrorists from smuggling a nuclear weapon into the United States are so poorly managed and reliant on ineffective equipment that the nation remains extremely vulnerable to a catastrophic attack, according to scientists and government auditors. The assessment coming nearly 4 years after the 9/11 attacks and after the investment, they say, of $800 billion by the United States government, and a lot of lawmakers saying, what did we spend all this money for? Four federal departments, Homeland Security, Defense, Energy, and State, are involved now in a global campaign to try to prevent the illicit acquisition, movement, and use of radioactive materials, which includes efforts to prevent theft of nuclear materials from the former Soviet stockpiles and inspecting cargo containers on arrival from around the world. The nation's largest supplier of bullet-resistant vests to law enforcement agencies. They're urging their customers to replace these vests that contain the fiber Xylon, saying they may not be safe. The company is called Second Chance Body Armor. It had sent notices to police agencies nationwide. New research shows that the vests made with some of this Xylon may fail to perform and result in serious injury or death. In a recent study release, the brains of players of violent video games react as if the violence were real. According to the University of Aachen in Germany, They studied the brain patterns of 13 men aged 18 to 26. Wired up to a scanner, they were asked to play a game involving navigating through a complicated bunker, killing attackers, and rescuing hostages. They found that the violence became imminent, the parts of the brain became active, and that during fights, the emotional parts of the brain were simply shut down. It suggests that video games are training for the brain to react to this kind of pattern. The fate of that experimental spacecraft that we were monitoring with Richard C. Hoagland last night, the solar sail, designed to use light from the sun to power the space travel, still unknown now. Scientists picked up a weak signal from the craft while we were on the air last night, but they just really, I think, have lost this spaceship. The number of confirmed polio cases has reached 243 in Yemen, a country that was once believed to have been free of this disease. Now, this is according to the World Health Organization. Yemen accounts for nearly half of the 533 cases in the world this year as of June 15th. And there's still talk about a worldwide pandemic fear about the bird flu. As a matter of fact, they're saying if it happens, we could have 180 million to 360 million people die. But John Rappaport, who investigates a lot of stories for us, just doesn't believe this. We'll talk with John in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. John Rappaport has worked as an investigative reporter for 20 years. He's the author of 5 books. He's written on medical fraud, deep politics, health issues for newspapers, magazines in the U.S. and Europe, including CBS's Health Watch, Spin, Stern, and L.A. Weekly. The L.A. Weekly placed John's name in nomination for a Pulitzer Prize for his interview with the president of Salvador University, where a military takeover had occurred. His website is nomorefakenews.com. He's our guest. Hi, John. How are you?
Great, George.
Good. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Pandemic. Is it WHO just trying to scare us, or is there really some concern here?
Well, it's a fantastic scare operation. In fact, the New York Daily News ran an extremely lurid editorial a day or two ago saying that we now have to look at this on the level of global terrorism, meaning that we need to take all the appropriate measures. So this gives you an idea of where all of this is going. In other words, plans have to be put in effect for control of populations, for quarantines, for keeping people in the house, for eliminating criticism of medical authorities and governments and so forth. And they keep on talking about hundreds of millions of deaths and so forth. Well, as of June 9th, 100 cases of avian flu worldwide, 54 deaths reported in humans. And these figures are subject to closer analysis. If you update it as to probably today, you might see 130 cases, maybe 60, 70 deaths out of a population of whatever it is, 6-point-something billion people. So this gives you a more accurate picture of what actually is going on here.
Let me read a little bit of this story that was in the New York Daily News, which looks like that it was written by someone at WHO, which it probably was, by the way. It says, this is utterly different from ordinary flu, which kills between 1 million and 2 million people worldwide in a typical year. And I know you question that number too, John. In the worst previous catastrophic pandemic in 1918, more than 20 million people died from the Spanish flu. That's more than the number of people who died from the Black Death in the Middle Ages, and more people killed in 24 weeks than AIDS killed in 24 years. There are three elements to a pandemic. First, a virus emerges from a pool of animal life that has never infected humans, meaning no person has antibodies to fight it. Second, the virus has to make us seriously ill. Third, the virus must be capable of moving swiftly from human to human through coughing, sneezing, or just a handshake. The avian flu, the first two elements, are already with us. Well over half of the people, they say, who have contracted it have died. The question now is whether the virus will meet the third condition, mutating so that it can spread rapidly from human to human. The new flu has already moved from chickens to other birds and on to pigs. The latter often serve as a vessel for mixing human and animal viruses because the receptors on the respiratory cells of pigs are similar to those of humans. This illustrates the dangers we face because this mixture of bird flu and human flu in an animal or a person could cause the viruses to exchange genetic materials and create an entirely new viral strain capable of sustaining efficient human-to-human transmission. That's scary.
Yeah, I was laughing because it's like reading a science fiction novel. I mean, I think the editorial was actually written by Mort Zuckerman, who publishes the New York Daily News. And, you know, this is all, you know, very interesting speculation and commentary and so forth. But when you've got 100 cases and supposedly 54 or 60 deaths, which is another question for closer analysis, you're not quite at the point yet where you can start talking about a worldwide pandemic. You know, it's just not on the same level. What we do have, I'll tell you, is a serious global crisis in farm animal management. Now, this is very real.
All right, explain that, John.
Because of the way that animals that are used for food, I'm talking about cows and chickens and so on, mm-hmm. are raised in factory conditions, in the most gross and disgusting conditions you can imagine, very close to one another, in cages, all kinds of debris and refuse, excretions lying around, tremendously heavy dosing with antibiotics, and disease of any kind can spread terrifically fast from one animal to another, and does all the time. I mean, all you have to do is get on the internet and start researching this, and you see, you can go back as far as you want to, and you will be reading about epidemic outbreaks of disease in animals all over the world in different countries, and you'll just see it's all there. And what it all really stems from is not the germs themselves, it's from the conditions of enormous stress under which these animals are placed that suppress their immune systems, and then the incredible overcrowding that occurs, exactly, incidentally, the same conditions that bring about every day in this world horrendous amounts of death to people who live in certain
third world nations, exactly.
So this is the real crisis, and it's very convenient to try to deflect this by saying, you know, painting a picture of, oh, we have all these wonderful healthy farms and all these animals are running around and singing songs, but it just so happens that we have these terrible germs that are sweeping through and this could move into humans and so forth.
So you think that's where the problem could really stem?
Yeah. I mean, that's where this kind of thing all begins. And when you have animals that are in a different setting, in a much more humane setting, you don't get these continual outbreaks of epidemics. You don't find these crises occurring. But none of this is reported in the press. You don't see, you know, the kind of deep analysis that you need to understand what's really going on. So it's much easier to say, oh, we have this horrible thing that's threatening everybody, and it's a germ, and it could spread to humans, and so on and so forth.
John, let me ask you a globalist question. Do they care if 180 million to 360 million people die when you have 6 billion people on this planet?
No, from that point of view, it would be, if you're looking through the eyes of,
as long as they're not one of the 180 million,
it would be a welcome phenomenon. That is exactly the kind of thing that they're looking for, and they want to be able to explain it in such a way that it, of course, takes the blame away from them and just puts it into this sort of neutral space of, oh, it's a germ and the germ is doing it and we're desperately trying to seek, you know, a cure.
Some of these globalists, John, use the words like cleansing, culling, and if indeed all those things are happening, you're absolutely right. I mean, for this to occur, as long as they're not involved in it, right? As long as they're not one of the statistics,
they
would care less.
Absolutely. No question about it. So what's happening is that from the point of view of what would be really good medical practice, there is absolutely no reason to believe that we're on the verge of experiencing a horrendous pandemic. One of the more interesting stories that just came up is, it's now blame the Chinese again time. And in this case, it's a drug called amantadine, which has been used to treat people with viruses in the past, has also been used to treat Parkinson's and animals. So now China is being blamed because, you know, here's the official line. The virus has become resistant to one of the only widely available drugs that we could use in a pandemic crisis, namely this drug, amantadine.
All right, and why are they blaming the Chinese?
Because the Chinese have been using this drug for a long time on animals in China.
Ah, okay.
And they're saying, you see now the avian flu virus has become resistant to it, and therefore it's mutated. And so if that mutated version ever gets into humans, we can't use this drug because it won't work anymore. Well, two things about this drug. First of all, it's been known for many, many, many years through research on other animals like turkeys, for example, that the drug rapidly becomes useless, no matter what you use it for, in the way of trying to kill germs, number one. This is nothing new. And number two, you've got a situation where there's a code phrase here, drug resistant. Whenever a drug doesn't work the way it's supposed to work, it's very easy to say, well, you see, the germ has mutated, and now it doesn't work anymore. It was wonderful, but now it isn't. And I've tracked down several of these situations, and in fact, the drug never worked. But it was easy to say that it stopped working and blame it on the brilliant germ that within, 48 to 72 hours can make miraculous mutations so that it is resistant to the drug. The other thing that's been hidden from people is, and they should be aware of this, is what the effects of this drug, amantadine, are when it's actually used on humans. And I'll just recite three or four of the adverse effects. Hyperexcitability, marked behavioral changes, hallucinations, delirium, psychosis.
Oh, great. Just
yeah,
what we
so
need,
you
huh?
See, the drug is being touted. Oh, it's a fantastically useful drug, but just so happens that the germ has become resistant to it. Well, this is not a drug I would ever think about taking myself because of the adverse effects that it has.
Lastly, they say 300 million doses of flu vaccine a year to serve more than 6 billion. Sounds like they want more vaccines, John.
Absolutely. This is also, I'm glad you brought that up, because this is also a very good excuse for saying, well, you see, we don't have the drug to use anymore, so now we have to go to the vaccine.
Yep.
And now we'll pass laws in various countries that will guarantee these manufacturers that they can sell as many doses as they can produce, even if we don't use them, even if there is no pandemic, and the pharmaceutical companies make billions of dollars more from developing a vaccine that supposedly works, but following the pattern of other vaccines turns out to be very harmful, and so on and so forth.
All right, John, what's latest on your plate these days? What are you doing?
Well, I've actually been looking into this situation with the avian flu, but other than that, have been doing some more investigation on the mercury autism connection, the mercury being a component in many vaccines that was supposed to be taken out of most vaccines or all vaccines, but really hasn't been taken out of all vaccines. For example, there's a childhood flu vaccine that still contains mercury. And a recent article written by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. in which he lays the wood completely to very nefarious goings-on at the Centers for Disease Control and other U.S. health agencies that have been intentionally covering up the obvious connection between neurological disasters such as autism and the toxic mercury that has been injected for decades into children and babies in the United States.
John, why don't you approach him for us, and we'll get both of you on the program in the future. You want to?
That would be great.
Okay, I'll let you run with that one.
All right.
All right, thanks. John Rappaport, his website, No More fakenews.com. I have open lines for you now. Here are the phone numbers for you to get you going. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line, 818-501-4721. The wild card line, 818-501-4109. Open lines, anything goes, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Open lines for you for this half now, and of course next hour we're going to be talking about reptoids and also some underground civilizations. As a matter of fact, listen to this one. City crews in Sherman, Texas received quite a surprise when attempting to fix a downtown sidewalk. When a worker cut through the concrete, he found a large hollow space below. His amazing discovery, a passageway underneath Travis Street that seems to lead to an old underground shopping area. Many believe the storefronts under there line the underground alleyway. They point to items such as a sign found that says, "Thanks, call again." All the residents and historians are simply amazed at the find down there. You never know what you'll find deep below the planet. Hey, we have a Prophet Yahweh update for you. As you know, the Prophet summed up some UFOs before Channel 13 in Las Vegas some time ago, and he has set between June 1st and July 15th as the time to summon some more up yet. So periodically, we bring in the Prophet to find out exactly what's going on. What is going on, Prophet? Anything new?
Thank you for having me back on, George.
That's right.
But I'm constantly being ignored by the media, and we have gotten our summoning site.
Whereabouts?
You've been going there, family summoning. I mean, family site, you hold the parents. However, every time we go there, and even in my sleep, the voice I hear that calls itself Yahweh is telling me that the wave is near to start, the wave of shocking UFOs I've been prophesying of. I've been hearing to prophesize mightily, to pick up my prophesying of the spaceship that's going to descend. It's been revealed that it's going to descend sometime between June the 1st, June 15th, in the last couple of weeks of the media only summons.
I'll tell you what, for just a moment, your voice changed because of something with your phone. It sounded like some aliens took over your phone transmission.
Well, I don't know, I have a very hoarse voice. But as I said, the voice I hear that calls itself Yahweh is telling me to start prophesying greatly and more pronounced, and that this thing is going to happen. We're entering into the critical area of this thing. It will not fail, just like none of the other times I foretold of spaceships coming failed and over the skies of Las Vegas.
Well, let me ask you this, Prophet. If the media doesn't show up on any of your predestined events, are you still going to try to summon these UFOs somewhere?
No, we are summoning at the summoning site that we have now. We're going out daily.
Are they showing up?
Yes, and we're filming them. But from what I'm hearing, that the wave of UFOs that they have, the shocking wave I've been prophesying of, is preparing to start. What's going to happen is this is going to stun the world. This is no joke. People are going to know Yahweh is real.
All right, now where's this area, Prophet, for people who live out in that area and they might want to just go out there and watch what's going on?
Well, you know, because of the death threats on me, I'm not really up to that. I'm getting them on a consistent basis. People saying they're going to hunt me down and kill me.
Well, we don't want that to happen. I mean, you don't want people there to watch this? That's what I'm saying.
Not the public in general and people I don't know about.
So unless the media shows up, we're not going to be able to know if it's happening or not, right?
No, you'll be able to know. The wave of sightings I'm talking about is real. It's going to make news. And the thing about it, all the sightings that we film, I'm going to email them to you all so you can post them for evaluation.
Well, you send them to us. Okay, give us another update next week.
Okay, could I say something right before you go?
Sure.
I've been hearing to contact Art Bell and something about having him to come. They got some sightings. They want to prove that this is going to go down to him.
Well, so okay, I'll tell you, we'll send him a note for you.
Okay, thank you, sir.
We'll get it to Art, and if he wants to go up there and take a look, that'll be up to him. Let's go to our first-time caller line. Welcome to the show. You're on the air, and where might you be?
George, hey, this is Rose. I'm calling you from St. Louis.
Hey, Rose, how are you?
I am doing great. Hey, listen, I just recently found out about this show, and I have to say, two wonderful people named Mark and Sarah from St. Louis Community College told me about the show.
Now, you know, I've been on the air in St. Louis since 1996,
yeah,
in one way or another. And you just found out about the show and me?
Yes, I am not much of a radio show person, but hey, you know.
You are now, Rose.
One of the best things I've ever found out about is right up there on that list. I just wanted to say that you bear a striking resemblance to an Egyptian musician named Hossam Ramzy. Uncanny.
I do. Hossam Ramzy.
And when you look him up, you'll have to look at several different pictures because he changes.
All right.
Wanted to say there's something on your website that I just checked out, too, that doesn't do you justice. It's a picture. It's called Strange Creature in the Backyard.
Uh-huh.
George, that's a puppy on its hind legs. Take that thing off there. That's goofy.
Is that what that is?
I don't know who sent that to you, but just take it off.
Well, let me chat with my webmaster about
that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but thanks for all you
thanks,
do.
Thanks, Rose.
You're wonderful.
Appreciate it. And Coast to Coast continues. Open lines continue in a moment. Well, I kind of looked at this picture of this Hossam Ramzy, and he's a little heavier version, but he does look like me. I mean, it's kind of weird looking at almost a double. To the phones we go, east of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from La Crosse, Wisconsin.
Well, welcome to the show.
My name's Kyle. Just wanted to call in. Me and some of my friends, we do EVPs around La Crosse and stuff, and about a week ago, we picked up an EVP in a cemetery, and very distinct, leave me, that the voice said.
Was it the only one you got?
That was the only one we got so far. We just started, you know.
Is it pretty clear?
It's very distinct.
You don't have it close by, do you?
No, I don't have a copy of it.
Okay, see if you can get one and MP3 it to us.
Okay, but we went out again tonight to try to get some more.
Any luck?
We didn't get any, but we went to a grave where a man shot himself over his wife's grave.
Oh, my.
And my friend had his cell phone, and it's like, it was fine before, but when we left, he turned it on, and it's like, not like the outer covering, you know, but like the actual screen itself is like cracked, and it looks like there's a magnet that you put up to it, you know? It's all like discolored and cracked and... you can't see the numbers at all anymore. So we don't know what happened with that.
Almost like it was dipped in acid or something like
that.
Okay, well, definitely get me the sounds of that EVP. I'd like to hear it. Wildcard Line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
I missed the show where the pictures from Earth Designs was introduced, and I wondered what kind of input you had on those.
Well, I tell you what, the best thing to do is go back to our website. Can you get on a website?
That's where I saw the pictures.
Yeah, I know. You what do you mean that you missed it, though? What do you need to know?
Well, what input have people been calling in about that?
No, they haven't. They haven't been reacting to that at all.
That's the most remarkable thing I've ever seen, and I've been telling everybody that I know.
Why do you find it to be so remarkable?
It's above Minnesota, and I don't think anybody's seen it before.
What do you mean nobody's seen it before?
Have you seen that before, George?
No, I'm not in Minnesota.
The picture's on your website.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. It's like it's photos of farms and things.
But don't you think that the photos are remarkable?
Of course, that's why we posted them.
But I'm just wondering if anybody, you say nobody's called in.
No, you're the first.
Well, they are just out of this world.
I know they are.
Everybody should be looking at the Earth Designs on your website. It's the most incredible thing.
Okay. Thanks. That's why we post those pictures. Appreciate that. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hello.
Good evening, George.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, this is Justin. I just can't compliment you enough. And again, you are one of the great rays of sunshine that's still out there in the airwaves.
Well, that is a compliment. Thank you.
Well, again, if it wasn't for you on this particular radio station here in Los Angeles, I wouldn't listen to it at all.
Well,
and I don't mean to be facetious.
Nah, they're good people.
They're good people. Well, anyhow, I wanted to bring up something. I don't know if I've heard it covered in your show, but I know you've had everybody on your show from time to time, from Sean David Morton and other people. But an interesting phenomenon I'm personally experienced out here in Glendale area. I personally have seen psychics and asked for consultations for things and issues that were bothering me. However, in my life, I'm 48, I have not had the experience of meeting so many people that are telling me about their own personal experience about encountering or having their own intuitive abilities come out.
It is uncanny how rapidly this seems to be growing, too.
Indeed. I have a friend who specializes in healing, and my own personal area of interest, it seems that I've become very good at medical clairvoyance.
I wonder if this is a process of age. You know, the older we get, the more we get tuned into these things, you know, as we approach that one day.
Well, I would kind of like to take it one step further. I kind of believe, and I've seen some things on the web and been searching about this, my personal belief is with all the metals that are being thrown up around the earth with the and the aerosols,
particles,
is that it's changing the magnetic sphere of the earth. Also, have you dropped any coins on the ground lately that have landed on their side?
No, but normally I pick them up off the ground. I look for them. No, there was a Twilight Zone movie, a TV show about that, where they dropped a coin. It was a penny, I think.
Uh-huh.
And the person had intuitiveness all for as long as that penny stayed on its side like that.
Uh-huh.
And it was knocked over at the end of the Twilight Zone show, and the person lost his ability. But no, I've never done that.
Well, I'm just noticing a lot of things that I work in a shop environment, and so occasionally things fall on the ground. But a lot of things seem to be falling on their side, and you mentioned the birds that were attacking people down in
Houston.
Georgia?
Houston.
So I'm just wondering, and I'm putting it out to everyone there, is the magnetic sphere of this earth changing, and are the veils that keep us truly separate from intuition, ghosts, personal experiences, becoming thinner at this time and age?
I wonder how many times you could drop a coin and have it land on its side like that.
Not too often.
No, I don't think. Hey, thanks for the call.
You bet.
Appreciate that. By the way, if you want to get to the coasttocoastam.com website and take a look at those photos that she was talking about, go ahead. You know, it's Lex has done a good job putting that up, and he's putting a little explanation up there, too. First-time caller line, welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi there.
Yes, hi. This is Shane in Kansas, and I keep thinking about 9/11. You remember what story happened to be in the news for about, 4 months before 9/11 hit?
Before 9/11 hit?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Chandra Levy's disappearance?
Okay, and that's gone now, isn't it? All gone. They've never said anything about it since they found her bones.
Right. But here's what I was thinking about that. Remember, she was supposed to be with Condit, right? Gary Condit.
Yeah.
Now, he was on, wasn't it, I think, the House subcommittee?
It was a congressman. Right.
The intelligence subcommittee. I don't know. What do you think? You think maybe she might have saw something or heard something?
Well, I would not tie 9/11 in with her tragedy.
Saying, you know how everybody.
But let me tell you something about the media in general, and us too in this particular case, because this is the first I've talked about it in about a year. It's faded away. The story's gone. There's been no word from D.C. police in terms of who her killer is, what evidence they have. It's done. It's a done story. It's amazing. Okay, thanks. Wildcard Line, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Brian from Klamath Falls, Oregon.
Hi, Brian.
Hey, I just wanted to call on your show on the faith yesterday.
Yes.
And it was kind of ironic. My company that I used to work for, driving truck, I drove for them for 12 years, loved every minute of it. All of a sudden, I just decided to give it all up and go try something else. So I came home and went to work for a casino dealing blackjack and enjoyed that for a while.
Sure.
I met someone there at the casino, you know, just through, you know, being there. And we got together. We played chess all the time, played video games and this and that. One thing led to another, and we ended up getting married after a year, and we've been happily married for 4 years now, and went right back to driving truck after we got married.
How about now? That is indeed a blackjack, huh? How about that?
Oh, yeah. And the irony of it is, when I was 10 years old, my mom, my real mom, told me that the person I would meet and marry would equal 21.
Yeah. I love it. Hey, I got to ask you this because you're a blackjack dealer. What's the worst temper person you've ever seen when you were dealing?
Oh, geez, that would have to be a guy by the name of Greg that used to come in all the time. He owned a car dealership in town for years, sold the car dealership, so now he's a multimillionaire. And he used to come in and play two hands at a time, every single hand, and he would play $100 each hand. And when I first started working there, I'd been there about a week, and I was literally clearing the table. I could not lose a hand for anything. And I went to shuffle the cards one time, and he leaned over when I was shuffling, and he says, "Have you ever had anybody hit you upside the head really, really hard?" Yeah. And I just kind of looked at him, and I thought to myself, go ahead and try it, and you'll pull back a stump.
Absolutely. Hey, did you guys ever employ these coolers? Did you see that movie, The Cooler?
Yeah.
Do they have real people like that have this negative energy, and they just, like, hang around?
Oh, yeah. And they'll come to a table and, you know.
They'll kill it.
Everybody on the table starts losing, or the dealer starts losing.
Do they know that's the person? Do they all look at the guy?
Yeah, we did have one guy that came to our table and sat down, and I guess he was independently wealthy, and he was playing, like, I don't know, $200 a hand.
Man.
And he was consistently causing the entire table to lose. And the last straw was a pair of tens that he pulled, and he split them.
Which is a cardinal sin in blackjack.
Oh, yeah, big time. And the gentleman, Greg, that I was telling you about, he happened to be at the table at the time, and he'd been playing for years, you know. And he was already mad because of the way this guy was playing.
Right.
And this guy split those tens. He threw a fit and a temper tantrum, and he grabbed his chips and stormed across to the cash-out cage and cashed out his chips. And he stomped out of the casino and drove away, and we didn't see him for about 2 months.
I love it. Thanks for the story, and congratulations on the marriage.
Oh, yeah, And it's funny, too, because people, you know, they'll ask us stuff about, you know, our marriage and such. And I've told people flat out, you know, we've been married for 4 years, been together for five, and we've never even so much as had a disagreement.
Well, I would guess you're going to stay married at least until 21 years. That's a given. Don't worry about that. Wild Card Line, I got a little time for you. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Hey, is this George, right?
Yes, it is.
All right. Hey, it's an honor to be in your show.
Thanks. What's up?
Hey, I used to live in Iowa when I was a kid,
uh-huh.
And I was talking to the guy, the screener, and me and my cousin were at a dance one night. We're about 13 years old, and we walked through this big cemetery on the way home to his house because it was a shortcut, and we got about halfway through, and me and him both swear that we seen a red light rising out of a grave. And my cousin and myself ran is almost 2 miles to his house, and we ran there without stopping.
This thing didn't follow you, did you? Did it?
No. But we told our parents, and I've told this story several times, and nobody will believe me. But, hey, I swear my cousin will swear he's seen it too.
Just a red light. Where did it go?
I didn't stick around to find out.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. Hey, you're out of time this hour. We're going to be talking about reptoids, what's going on in the center of the hollow earth, because there's theories that something is living down there. So we're going to be talking with our guest, John Rhodes, about that in just a moment and some other things as well. If you need to email me, that's simple, george@coasttocoastam.com. The website is coasttocoastam.com, easily accessible, or you can get to it by going to georgenori.com. And I'll be right back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM.